Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study where we're going to look at Christ as our example. I'm so excited to be able to look at that. This is our weekly Bible study, and we're going to look at Christ, our example. Before we do that, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And thank you that we have your word. Thank you that we can study your word. And thank you for Christ, for who he is, for what he has done for us, and that we have him as our example. I pray, Father, please, will you open up your word to us so we can see Christ more clearly, and at the end of the day, grow in the grace and the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Make it possible for me to teach your people, I pray, as well, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay. Now, the first thing that we can say about Christ that I think is stands out when we look at the at who Christ is the fact that he is the second person of the Trinity. Okay, and as the second person of the Trinity, he is fully God. We need to know that. We need to remember that at all times. We know that Jesus Christ is the God-man, that he was fully God, fully man when he was on this earth. Two natures in the one person. But it's extremely important for us to remember that Jesus Christ is God. He's the second person of the triune God. But when we look at Christ as our example, we can see that Christ is our example of what perfection looks like. Yes, he is the ultimate example of what perfection looks like. We read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. It says, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." Here it's speaking about Jesus Christ as the high priest. Now those who went through the Bible study in the book of Hebrews with me, and that was quite a time ago, will remember that Jesus Christ is the high priest. And in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer basically tells us that Christ is superior. He is superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to even the high priest. The book of Hebrews basically tells us about the superiority of Christ. He's above all things. But our text tells us that this high priest, this one that is superior to the angels and Moses and the priesthood itself, that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he has become higher than the heavens. This is amazing, beloved. You see, Jesus Christ is the example of what perfect holiness actually looks like. Now, we must remember when Jesus was on this earth, he was fully God and fully man. 100% God, 100% man. In his humanity, he was perfectly holy. He was without pollution. In his relationship with God, Jesus is perfectly holy as well. In his relationship with mankind, we can say that Jesus Christ is harmless. He's without malice, without evil. What did he come to do? He came to save sinners, not to harm them. Obviously, there's going to be a time in the future for those who reject Christ that he will come as the judge. Okay, and then he will cast those who did not believe on him, he will cast them into hell, and rightfully so, because they refused to believe and to repent. But when Jesus Christ came to die for our sin, he came not to harm, but to save. And he's still saving even today. His grace is still available for sinners to be saved. You see, when a sinner dies, and a sinner is cast into hell, it's because of their own sin. It's because of their refusal to repent and believe. That will be the reason why they end up in hell. But Jesus Christ, he was harmless to humans. And at the same time, he was holy unto God, which meant that he was the perfect one to be a sacrifice for our sin. When we look at the relationship that Jesus had with himself, in relationship to himself, Jesus Christ was basically undefiled. You see, he is and he was free from any contamination. Nothing or no one could defile him in any way, because he was perfect in every aspect. But in relation to sinners, we can say that Jesus Christ was separate. And how can we say that? We can say that because he had no sin. He actually died for sin. He became sin for us. He took our sin upon himself. But as a person, Jesus did not commit any sin. You see, he was a substitute for us, for our sin. But Jesus had no sin nature. Okay? And then when we look at Jesus Christ in relation to his position, then we can say to one another that Jesus Christ, in this text that we just read, he became higher than the heavens. There is no one higher than Christ. It just doesn't mean speak about his elevation to the third heaven, into the presence of the Almighty God. That's not all it means. He's just above everything. There is nothing, absolutely nothing higher than Christ. He became higher than the heavens itself. Now, it's interesting to note that the high priest, remember, he had to go into the outer court and then through the holies for him to be able to enter into the most holies, where he could bring the sacrifice once a year on the Ark of the Covenant. Because that's basically what happens. Through the outer court, through the holies, into the most holies. And then on the sacrifice, it can bring it can bring the sacrifice once a year. After Jesus' death and his resurrection, Christ Jesus went through the atmospheric heavens, through the stellar heavens, basically, into the abode of God to bring a perfect sacrifice once and for all time on the heavenly tabernacle. So he went higher than the heavens. Now the heavens that we see and the stellar heavens to bring a sacrifice once and for all on the heavenly tabernacle, and that was a perfect sacrifice, because Christ is the perfect one, and he was perfect in all aspects to bring that sacrifice before God. Now, one thing that we need to understand is that Christ Jesus is our example of what true perfection looks like. Okay? So what we do is we look up to him. And because we look up to him and we look at his perfection, we worship him, we admire him. As we look upon his perfection, we admire him, we worship him, we look at him, we want to be like him. But we need to understand, we are sinners. We're saved by grace, obviously. And in Christ, we are declared perfect. Even though we know that we are far from perfect. I mean, all we do is when we look at our example. When we look at our example, we see that he is perfect and we're not. So that's why we look at Christ. We look to Christ. We don't look at ourselves. Because if we look at ourselves, we will very easily say, oh, you know what, I think I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm nice. Yo, just look at all the stuff that I'm already, I've already conquered, the things that I can already do, the things that I look so good at. No, what we do is we look at Christ, we look at our example, and then we compare ourselves to the example that Christ set for us. Now, we cannot be God men, that, or God women. We can't be that. No, we can't have a nature like Christ had, a divine nature and a human nature, because we're not Christ. But he set the example of what it means to be fully human. And that's what we strive towards. That's the example that we have. That's what we want to be, is we want to be like Christ. So that means that basically Jesus Christ is the one who set the standard. And that's what we aim towards. Okay, that's what we want to reach. We don't follow... Obviously, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's true. Because Paul looked at Christ, and Paul's life was a major big example for us. But our ultimate example to follow is Christ. He is our example. And we become his imitators, because he is the example, and especially when it comes to perfection. Paul can't get close because he's human, but Christ Jesus, he is perfect. That's why we look at him. Okay. But then, another thing that we need to speak when we say speak about Christ is that we as believers are predestined to follow Christ's example. Did you know that? We are predestined. It has been predetermined that we should follow Christ's example, or that Christ should be our example for us to follow. Just quickly take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where we read, "For whom he foreknew," that means Christ, that he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Speaking about us, not Christ, sorry. "For whom he foreknew," those people that he foreknew, "he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So those of us, those believers whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, so that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what he's saying. Now, the word foreknew does not only refer to God's omniscience. I mean, God's omniscience means that God actually knew in eternity past already what would... who would come to Christ, who would be conformed into the image of Christ. God knew it before time even began, before eternity, or in eternity past, he knew it already. Okay, that's what it means to, the word foreknew means. So he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "Him, that is Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Now, beloved, from eternity past, God predestined that Jesus Christ would die, and that he would die an atoning death as part of his preordained, of God's preordained plan. You see, Jesus' death wasn't just something that God knew would happen. No, 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 no. God purposed for Christ to die. It was part of God's plan. You see, God's foreknowledge includes his action, basically. You know, it includes that action in doing and performing what he decided that he would do. Foreknowledge is not just knowing. Foreknowledge is also the action of doing or performing what he knew before, or what he knows. And it's the same thing. believers are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And it's not that God only knew that it would happen. That's not what it means. But rather, God purposed it. It's not just that God knew that it was going to happen. God intends it to happen. It's the action as well. Foreknowledge is the action, that it includes the action. You see, God purposed it, that believers will be transformed into the image of Christ. God purposefully changes believers to look more and more like Jesus Christ. And he decided that he was going to do it. And he decided that before the foundation of the earth in eternity past. Beloved, that's amazing. You see, God's plan was set up in eternity. It's not an idea that came up later. No, God's plan was intact right from the start. All right, so what we see is that Jesus Christ is our example of what perfection looks like. All right, because that's important. And that we will be changed into the image of Christ. That was decided before the foundation of the earth already. You see, God predestined or purposed it before time began that we as his children would become more and more like Christ Jesus. And this, by the way, is an ongoing process. From the moment that God, the Holy Spirit, regenerates us, he basically starts changing us to look more and more like Christ Jesus. Beloved, isn't that amazing? But that's exactly what God is doing. You see, and what he does is, he's not changing us to look like Jesus physically. It's not a physical thing. No, it's about our character. He changes our character to become more and more Christ-like. Now, we need to understand that God will do whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to change us into the image of Christ, or change us into Christ-likeness, because he decided before the foundation of the world already that he was going to save people and then change them and make them, or change them into the image of Christ, give them the character of Christ. Which means that we will see spiritual growth, discipline. Those are the things that God will use, you know. Our reading scripture, growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, God will use that. He will use discipline. He will use trials and suffering and persecution and challenges. He will use anything that is actually necessary for us to be changed into the image of Christ. You see, what God did was he set Christ Jesus up as our example to follow. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he changes us from inside to look like that example that God set up. You know, Christianity is a God thing. God has done everything necessary for us to be all that he wants us to be. And that's just absolutely amazing. All we need to do is to work with the Spirit, to be obedient, to do as the Spirit leads. And we will experience amazing things. We will experience change in our character, and we will become more Christ-like. We will read the scripture, we will see who Christ is and what Christ was like. And we will see changes taking place slowly but surely in our own lives as we are transformed into the image of Christ. Because at the end of the day, that's what God predestined before the foundation of the earth, is for us to be Christ-like. And he is our best example for us to follow. So that's it, beloved. I hope... it just inspires us a little bit. It encourages us. It edifies us when we look at Christ Jesus as our example. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you again. And just thank you so much for Christ, our example. Yes, obviously, most of all, thank you that he died for us, that he took our sin upon himself, and that he gave us life eternal. But thank you so much that we can look at him as our example, and by the Holy Spirit, be changed into the image of Christ. And you predestined this, you decided this before the foundation of the earth in eternity past. That's amazing. Thank you for that, Father. So I want to pray for each one of us that we will experience and see the changes that takes place in us, and that we will look at Christ as our example every single day. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. God willing, until next time. Bye-bye.